Good evening, everybody. Grab our Bibles. We're going to turn to 2 Samuel and chapter 21. 2 Samuel 21, we're going to be talking tonight a bit about David and the other giant. We talk about David and Goliath all the time. The Sunday school kids know the songs about the little sling that went round and round and round and the little stone that went in the air. But there's another story with David and a giant, and it's not so catchy a story, really. So 2 Samuel chapter 21, and we're going to start in verse 15. Verse 15 says, "Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel, and David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. And Ishbi-benob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David sware unto him, saying, Thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel." Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us, that we can be here tonight. Lord, give me the right words to say. Keep the bad words out, Lord. I pray you'd help me tonight. Help us, Father, to be listening to what you have to say and keep distractions away. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to talk about this other giant, whose name is not as catchy either. Ishbi-benob is a bit harder to say than Goliath, and it'd be probably harder to make a song that rhymes. We're not going to try that, so that's okay. But when we look at David, we think of, there's a few stories about David that stick in our minds. One of them is the shepherd protecting his sheep from a lion and a bear. One of them is killing Goliath. What else can you think? Sunday school. I'm not going to ask questions. You guys don't have to raise your hands. Other stories we think about is Bathsheba. We think about... those are probably the main ones that I think of, but one of them that's humongous in my mind is this story here when David nearly dies from a giant. We know that at this point David is, I guess, what you'd call as seasoned a giant killer as you can get. He killed one. That's pretty much the record as far as we know. One giant per person is about how it goes. But in this case, it says in verse 15, David waxed faint. And we know David's a fair bit older here. And I like sword fighting, and I like watching people sword fight and attack each other with spears. And one thing I've learned from the books that I've read is it's very easy to lose a battle when you're swinging at each other from about 2 feet away. So much can go wrong. You can slip. The sun can glint off the other guy's sword and get you in the eye at just the wrong time. You could be distracted by something. Your hair might fall in your eyes. And all of a sudden, it's over. Now, at this story, it says that David waxed faint. So we see that David has been pressed pretty hard in this story. And by the time he's fighting Ishbi-benob, it's already probably a pretty long battle for him. He gets to this point, and Ishbi-benob thinks, I've got a new sword, special for this occasion. I'm going to kill the king of Israel. And he almost did. And I imagine David laying on the ground. My imagination runs away, the same as pastors. I imagine him laying on the ground, and Abishai running in with his shield and blocking the blow and managing to kill this guy. Abishai is not someone we talk about a whole lot in the Bible, but he's actually in the stories of David almost the whole way through. He's almost the character that we see but don't know who he is. Abishai was the older brother of Joab. There was three brothers. There was Joab and Abishai and the one I can never remember. And the one who I can never remember was as fast as a deer when he was running. He's not in this story, so it doesn't matter. What was it? Azahel, something like that. But also, if we go to 1 Samuel... we're going to look at a couple stories with Abishai and him real quick before we get onto the main message. 1 Samuel chapter 26. And if we go to verse 7, it says, "So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. But Abner and the people lay around about him. Then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore, let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear, even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time. And David said to Abishai, destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?" So this is actually the guy who says to David, you should kill Saul right now. Now, often in this story, we just think it was a random guy. It was actually a man named Abishai in this story. And when he's talking about his spear, he's not making empty threats. When it mentions Abishai in 2 Samuel 23 in the list of the David's men of valor, that's the word, I knew it was in there, the men of valor, it says Abishai killed 300 men with his spear. at one time. So when he says he can kill one guy with one shot, pretty sure he can do it. And so we see that Abishai is actually supporting David all through his, not all through his life, but all through his campaign to become king, and then all through his leadership as well when he is king. If we look in 1 Chronicles 18:13, Abishai leads a battle against the Edomites and kills 18,000 men. I don't know whether he killed 18,000. I'm assuming he didn't. But I would say he led the army that killed 18,000 men and took over Edom and put a garrison into Edom. So Abishai was instrumental in the rise and the rule of David. He was a man that would have been a man to storm the beaches with. Now that phrase comes quite pertinent this time of year because 3 days ago was the 6th of June and 75 years ago was D-Day. And D-Day was the day that the Allied forces landed in Normandy to invade Germany. There was about 10,000 Allied casualties. Didn't all die, but there was 10,000 casualties as they were storming the beaches. And there was terrible, horrific things happened. The Germans lost less as they were invading, but it was still quite a terrible thing to behold. And so the idea of someone to storm the beaches with is someone who has your back, someone who's going to be there with you. When I think about the stories about World War II, I think about a man named Mad Jack Churchill. Has anybody heard of Mad Jack Churchill? The man with the broadsword and the longbow and the bagpipes? Yeah. He fought through the whole war. He didn't like guns. He had a sword. He had a bow. And he played his silly loud bagpipes everywhere he went. And everybody knew where he was. He was in a commando squad, and he was just willing to go wherever he wanted. I think he lost a hand and an eye in the war. And after the war, he was quoted as saying, "Frankly, I enjoyed the war." So he was a manly man. He was a man that, if you were going to storm the beaches, he's who you want. Because when the Germans see that guy, they know he ain't scared of anything. He's playing bagpipes. He's not scared. You need a lot of air. You can't be hyperventilating and play the bagpipes. This guy knew what was going on. So when we're thinking about people to storm the beaches with, people to have your back, like Abishai had David's back here in 2 Samuel. I better go back there before I lose my spot. 2 Samuel 21. So I want to look at a couple of points tonight about Abishai and David. Before we have communion, Pastor's going to do communion. Let's turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. And we want to think, first point is, some giants in our lives are harder to defeat than others. When David killed Goliath, it took a stone, and then he had a sword to finish the job. But here it was in a pitched battle, and David very nearly lost. When we have struggles in our lives, we're going to face what we would call spiritual giants. There are going to be things that we come up against that are a lot bigger than ourselves. There are things we're going to come up against that we don't see a way of defeating. Because if you remember in David and Goliath, the rest of the army wasn't going anywhere near that big guy. They weren't going anywhere near that fellow. He was terrifying. And we come across things in our lives that we think, there is no way I can defeat this thing that's coming to me. And God helps us to do that. And there are other giants that we go, I don't think I can do this, and we're very nearly right. Whether we're not trusting in God for the strength or what it is, but for some reason, there are things in our lives that are going to be a lot harder for us to fight against. And the beautiful thing is, it's different for everybody. Everybody has different strengths and everybody has different weaknesses. Now, if we go to 1 Peter chapter 5, and verse 8. Verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." So we see here that one of our big foes in this world is this guy in verse 8, the devil as a roaring lion. Now, I was looking up about lions and studying them a bit because I like to see gruesome things sometimes. And the lions will not charge something unless they're about 30 feet away. They get pretty close unless they're absolutely sure you're not looking in the same direction. If there's a gazelle and he is totally fixed on the water, then he will charge from further away. But he's going to sneak up as close as he can. All right? So when the devil comes to make attacks at us, he's not going to make himself known from day one of what he's doing. I mean, he's been around since day one. He's a pretty sneaky kind of fella. And he is going to look at us and find our weaknesses and find the giants that we have trouble with. He's going to find the giants we have trouble with, and he's going to get as close as he can, and then he's going to attack us very quickly, and if we're not careful, we'll be overwhelmed, like David was here. And the beautiful thing is, my spiritual giants aren't yours. And we can work together like Abishai and David, protecting each other, defending each other. And I'll leave that there because I've got to get to the minute. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6 and just read a verse. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Now, one of the beautiful positions in the Old Testament that I love reading about is the armor bearers and the shield bearers. This was a guy that wasn't about fighting. He was about protecting this other guy. He was about making sure this other guy doesn't get killed. Usually it was princes. Jonathan had a shield bearer. David probably did at some stage. Saul definitely did. And they were there pretty much to protect this guy and to hand him extra weapons. The same thing happened in the Middle Ages when they had squires and things like that. They would ride behind the knights into battle with a handful of extra weapons. And so when the knight fell over and dropped his sword, they'd pass him an axe or something like that, and he'd go again. And that's what Abishai was here to David. Now, David went in possibly unprepared to this second battle with the giant. Maybe he felt confident. Maybe he thought, "I've killed a giant. They're not that tough. Their skin breaks like everybody else's." Maybe he wasn't trusting in God for this second battle. Unprepared and relying on himself. And those two things are weaknesses that we can bring on ourselves. Even if God is on our side, if we don't prepare ourselves and we trust in ourselves more than we trust in God, the giant is very likely going to almost get us. Something we need to be prepared for. We need to make sure we are preparing for the battles that we face every day. Every day we're going to face a giant. Every day we're going to face a lion that's waiting to devour us. I work with some guys, and they're great guys, but they are waiting for an opportunity to pounce and to see me mess up and to see me get angry and say a bad word, or finally give in and have that beer at 4:30 in the afternoon. They're waiting for me to mess up, and that's a giant I have to face every day. And if I'm not prepared, if I'm trusting in myself, I'm going to get angry because I deal with lots and lots of silly people. Not going on to that subject. We're leaving the silly people alone. But we need to make sure that we're preparing for the battles that we face every day. And like Pastor says, there's no use tuning your instrument after the concert. We need to be in the Word in the morning, especially before we have to face all of the giants and the lions that come our way. So firstly, we see that some giants in our lives are harder to defeat than others. Secondly, let's go to Ecclesiastes. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. And chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, we're going to go to verse 9. Verse 9 says, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken." Now, we often think, "I'm strong enough to stand up by myself." And I have to think that too. But we want to talk about, we have spiritual armor on. When I was in high school, one of my friend's dad was in a medieval reenactment group. And he had a big set of chainmail armor. And one day, his son brought the chainmail armor to school to show off, because it was cool. And it was. But he put it on, and we pushed him over. You think he could get up? He was stuck. He could not get up. And we left him there. Until the bell went, and then we went and got him. But he could not get up. He had no one to help him up. Now, when we fall in this spiritual life, in this spiritual battle that we're in, very often we can't get up by ourselves. We need someone there like Abishai. We need someone there to pick us up, to help us to go on. Because like it says in these verses in Ecclesiastes, we're so much stronger together than we are separate. I had a teacher in high school named Mr. Felberg, and he used to say, "Teamwork makes the dream work." Now, I don't know if that was his saying. It's probably not. But that was his favorite thing, and he'd say it all the time, and it made us sick and tired to hear it. But he was absolutely right. If we're just relying on ourselves, we're so much weaker than if we have a team, if we have a group of people. And I've heard pastors say, "You can't learn anything from sports. Sports is a waste of time." I disagree. If you play team sports, you're going to learn so much about working with other people that you can put into family life and put into church life and put into friendships, and understanding that there's weaknesses and there's strengths, and working together to help each other and to achieve a goal together. We can achieve more as a church than we can individually. We need to make sure that as a team, as a church, as a family, we're working together to get the dream to work. And the dream here is the salvation of the people around us. We need to make sure that we're out in the world as a team, working together, helping each other, supporting each other, to get the word and the gospel out to the people who don't know what it is. And as Christians, we are often observers and we're not enough participants. We like to look at the world from the couch and go, what a terrible situation that is over there. Someone should do something. Someone should pass the chips. Someone should do something about that on TV. And it's a terrible, terrible thing, because as Christians, we're called to go. We're not called to watch. We're not called to just observe and write it in books. We're supposed to be as hands-on as it gets. And when we see the world taking a more hands-on approach to helping people than we are, we should be ashamed. There is so much that we can be doing that we're not. And we need to man up. And we need to embrace the suck. Now, I say that sometimes and I forget that no one knows what it means. Embracing the suck is a phrase that they use in the US Navy SEALs. When they want to find people who say, this is a disgusting job, it's a terrible job, but it has to get done, let's just do it. Let's embrace the suck, we'll get it over with, and then we'll go relax. And the US Navy SEALs are finding it harder and harder to find people with that attitude, with that mentality, willing to go through something uncomfortable to achieve a goal. And as Christians, we need to be doing that. We need to be saying, this is going to be a really uncomfortable week, but I'm going to do it, I'm going to get it over with, and God's going to be glorified through it. Confrontation is not the strong point of modern churches. Most modern churches will find a way to slither around the issue rather than confront it head on. And we don't want to be a church like that. We want to find the problems and root them out. We want to find the problems and face them head on and see if we can fix them. Instead of going, you know what, we'll make an adjustment. We'll change the rules a little bit. You can do that now, but just do it quietly. Something like that. We don't want a church like that. We want a church that's straight down the line with men of God who say this is right and this is wrong. Let's go to Ezekiel real quick. Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22. This is the word of the Lord coming through Ezekiel. It says in verse 30, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own ways have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God." We need people who are going to stand in the gap. We need people who are going to make a wall and stand in the gate and say, nothing bad comes through here. And say, God has made this barrier. Let's not move it. Let's not change it. Let's not make new holes for people to sneak through. There's one way, and we need to protect that one way. And we need to stand, like Abishai did here, between the king, between the giant killer, between the man of God, and the people working against them. The attacks of Satan, the lions, the giants, the things that are going to come and attack our giant killers. Because you know what's interesting about this story as well? Giant killers don't last forever. Even the strongest people in the Bible, eventually, most of them died. David was a very strong soldier. He was a very good soldier. He was smart with his tactics. He did kill a giant, but there came a time when he was no longer strong enough to do it. And his soldiers said to him, you can't come anymore. You're too old. Your grip is weak. Your eyes are bad. You're going to fall over and break a hip. You can't come to battle anymore. And so he had to stop. But there had to be other people to stand up and fight the rest of the giants, because there was more. If you go back to 2 Samuel and you look the rest of that chapter, there's 5 or 6 other giants that need to be killed. And all of them are killed by other people who took the legacy of David and said, this guy killed a giant, they're vulnerable, we're going to kill the rest of them. And we need to be doing that as a church family, as a spiritual army battalion, finding the giants and destroying them. We don't need to be standing back like so many people did, like Saul did when David was fighting Goliath. We need to be standing up and fighting the giants. Don't let the giants come to us. We'll go to them. Now, Abishai was a man of action who stood in the gap, and he was written about as one of David's mightiest men. If you go through, I think it's 2 Samuel 23, which is the men of valor, he's listed there pretty high up. And there's a lot of cool stories and a lot of cool guys in there, but Abishai is one that shows, as well as his strength and his valor, it shows his willingness to commit to a cause. He committed to a cause at the beginning. He fought for David, and he fought for David all through his life until David was actually dead. Abishai was also there when Absalom was rebelling and had a pretty big part in the death of Absalom, from what I remember as well. The time to stand as Christians is now. Tomorrow's no good. They say most diets start tomorrow, and probably most Christian resolutions start tomorrow. Or they started yesterday, and today's a break day. I have a guy at work who says, I started a diet yesterday, so I did yesterday, but I'm on a break today, and then I might do it again later. And there's no good. When we make a commitment to be a Christian, that's a lifelong thing. You can't leave the army. Once you're in this army, you're in for life. And so we kind of get to heaven. When we get there, we can either get there as a good soldier, or we can get there as not a deserter, but a coward, or someone who didn't do what they were supposed to be doing, someone who shirked their responsibilities, who let the giant through to kill the giant killer. We don't want to be remembered as that kind of thing. And the thing is that there's going to be new giants tomorrow. There's going to be other giants that we haven't thought about today. When I get to work tomorrow, there's a whole new list of jobs that I don't know about, and there could be a giant hiding in that paperwork somewhere. We need to be prepared for all the giants. We need to be prepared for all the lions. The word circumspectly has the idea of with attention in every direction. So instead of just having laser focus, not blinded like a horse, and going, this is the only thing that matters, we need to be paying attention to what's sneaking around behind. Because the devil is pretty sneaky when it comes to that kind of thing. And that's why lions have two eyes at the front. They're not worried about what's sneaking up on them. The devil doesn't worry about what's sneaking up on him. He's sneaking up on everybody else. We need to be like it says in the Bible, we are sheep. Sheep have their eyes on the sides of their heads, so they can see what's coming from two different directions. That's what we need to be as well. If we focus on one thing, if we focus on just the giants we knew yesterday, then the giants tomorrow are going to clean us up. So a couple of thoughts to bring away tonight before we go into the communion service. We want to be thinking about the giants that we already know. And we want to be thinking about the giants that we know other people have. And can we help them? Can we support them? Can we be an armor bearer? Can we be a shield bearer to somebody who we know is struggling with something? And we can get in there, and we can get in the way, and we can support them with prayer and possibly with action and say, I love you and I support you, and we are going to fight through this together. And because when Abishai killed Ishbi-Benob, whatever it was, that wasn't the end of the battle. There were still other people around. They had to get up. They still had to fight for the rest of the day, most likely. The battle's not over when one giant falls. The battle's over when we die and go to heaven. So as long as we're on this earth, as long as we wake up tomorrow, there's another battle, there's another giant that's going to be coming at us. And if we're not prepared, if we haven't been reading our Bible, if we haven't been talking to God, it's going to blindside us, and we're going to get cleaned up, unless there's an Abishai standing there. So two things. First of all, watch for the giants. And secondly, watch for an opportunity to act like Abishai. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you that we can be here tonight. Lord, please help us to remember these things, to think on these things. Help us, Lord, to do everything we do to be serving you and bringing glory to you, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.